Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the fifth element.
I could say so much of that. Like, where's your sexy bandage outfit?
Yeah,
I'm wearing it under my clothes.
Dear God, no. Before we usually... First off, how are you guys? As we're now 9-10 days in this new year.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm good too. My voice has been a little bit better, as you can tell. It's still a little off, but it's been much better. And I want to say, we always talk about this at the end of the show, but I want to do it at the beginning today because sometimes people don't always listen all the way to the end, and that's okay. People are in their cars listening. Sometimes they turn it off and they don't come back. But we do have a Patreon that we launched at the beginning of last year. And it's only $2 a month. You get exclusive episodes. And starting this month, me and Matt have not even officially announced this because Matt and I do most of the Patreons. We're going to start doing 2 episodes a month. And slightly formatted, a little bit different. They're going to be about 30 minutes each. So quicker, snappier, hopefully, or funnier. And the first one for the month of January is already recorded. And it features Batman and Robin as the featured. It was supposed to be our December episode. But we didn't get it done because of the holidays. So we're going to give it to you in January. And we're going to have a second episode in just a couple weeks for the end of the month. So go to therebelradiopodcast.com and click the Patreon link if you want to join for just $2 a month to get 2 exclusive episodes each month. So, I want to throw that out there as we start the new year. And those that are patrons, we thank you very much. So.
Yes, thank you.
And so now that we got some business out of the way. Oh, yeah. Our own.
Long to the Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
weird. All right, everybody. Freeze. Freeze.
Freeze.
That's the only line I remember. And all those stupid puns that Mr. Yes, Freeze does. Yes.
Allow me to break the ice.
I think it's a. I felt after we recorded it, felt it was a pretty good episode. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, very good.
Short but sweet. I think it's going to start the format well because, you know, we do these episodes every week, and we do have kids and families, and sometimes it's hard for us to get a solid hour and 15 minute extra episode in. So I think a couple of 30-minute episodes a month, a little bit shorter and quicker and more fun. I think it's going to serve the format well, and we hope people enjoy it. So something that I thought long and hard about while possibly under the influence of something. That's all I'll say. But it is a new year, so we will roll on with Patreon episodes and new episodes of the Rebel Radio Podcast. A lot of really cool movies coming up. Long's birthday in a couple weeks, which we don't even know what the birthday movie is yet. He's keeping it top secret. He hasn't told us. So, you know, I'm dying with anticipation. You know, he has to tell me before next week so I can put the preview trailer in the episode. But we'll know soon. So, but a fun movie to do this week. And, before we get to it, though, let's get into Download This, where we tell people what we've watched, streamed, checked out this past week. What have you guys had a chance to check out?
I'll start off. all I did was play Animal Crossing. and I would usually try to sleep in as much as possible before I go to work, but as soon as the alarm clock rings, I grab my Switch and just start doing my daily stuff before I start going getting ready for work. And that's really the only game I played. It's a great game to decompress from work too. You know, I'm just.
What time do you actually start work long?
I have to be in by 7.
Okay.
So I wake up at 6.
Because I know sometimes we're texting early in the morning and weren't sure if we were always waking you up.
Oh no, it's all good. It gives me something to look forward to when I wake up, I guess. Mark yelling at Matt for not delivering his merch and all that.
Yeah.
Or Matt just being random on in the mornings with whatever.
Yeah.
And try to have to wake up. It's like, what the hell is he talking about?
Nobody
knows. It's a good way to get the cobwebs out of my brain from sleeping. But yeah, that's the only game I played. I got a new cell phone and a new mobile service, which I'm glad. Ever since T-Mobile freaking took over Sprint, they've been throttling all my text messages and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm done. I've had a good run with Sprint, you know. And yeah. And then that's it, really. I didn't watch any movies, nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I watched the JFK movie with Kevin Costner, and I didn't realize like how good it was. It's a really good movie.
It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah, it's long and it's star studded. I mean, friggin' Gary Oldman, Tommy Lee Jones, John Candy. Yeah. I mean,
for John Candy's first evil role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon. Man.
I actually like that movie quite a bit. I think it's really well acted, well directed.
I've never seen the movie because I just assume it's just full of conspiracy theories and that's it.
Well,
so I've never seen it. So I just assume, well, it's all just conjecture and theories and you don't really know what's going on. Yeah.
It is, but they acknowledge that it's conjecture and theories and and they leave the movie open to that. If I remember right, it's been a while since I've watched it. Matt can correct me if I'm wrong since you just watched it. But they leave it open to your own interpretation. But they also kind of come to a conclusion that Oswald did what he did, if I remember right. But they do provide – it's very thought-provoking and extremely well acted. I like the film a lot. I own it on my Vudu. I bought it one time. It was $5 a couple months ago, and I haven't sat down and rewatch it yet. And I want to.
I've only seen the pseudo sequel to that movie, which is Nixon, which I kind of enjoyed. Anthony Hopkins playing Richard Nixon and all. But yeah, that's. So you saw JFK and what else?
Man, I know I watched something else. Oh, the in-laws came over. And,
That's Selena. Right.
That was hilarious.
Because you're Mexican.
Jackie's like, oh, because my family's Mexican. And I'm like, because both of our families are Mexican. I was like, you forget.
But no, bro.
Sides came from.
No, bro. It's the woman's family, man.
Yeah.
They're Mexican.
And then
you're white at that point.
And then I put, by comparison, for sure. It's like, if you're like, okay, who's more? And it's like, I lose that battle every time. And then right afterwards, to follow it up, I put on Zorro.
Another Mexican movie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what can I put on here? And I'm just scrolling, and I'm like, I just happened to buy Zorro right after I bought Selena. And so I was like, I'm going to put it on there just to see if she says anything. And she didn't. They were distracted.
Tell them what I texted you when you said that, when you said you put on Zorro. I suggested another movie.
Oh, yeah. Schindler's List. You're like, continue the dark humor.
No. You put on Selena, which was dark towards the end, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, man, you should have put on Schindler's List right after that.
Something
depressing. Something depressing. And then you said, oh, I'm going to put in Zorro. And then I texted, oh, you should have put in Sicario.
Sicario. Which one, Days of the Soledad or the first one?
I don't know, the most Mexican one out of all of them.
Ooh, Day of Soledad might be more Mexican, but they're both.
Yeah.
I mean,
or machete. You should have put on machete.
Oh, yeah, and you said machete. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I need to watch that movie again. I also watched Fast and the Furious. I bought it recently because it was on sale. And, that movie was just very impressionable whenever, I was growing up. All those cars raised in value, and a lot of my friends had those vehicles. My cousin had the vehicle that Dom's sister drives, and his car went from, like, it used to be like a $1,000 vehicle. It was, nothing, the Nissan 240SX, and then it went to be worth like $4,000, like just because the movie came out.
Yeah, the demand for it. People want to buy it.
And now it's like in 2 years you can start importing those again.
It's so unrealistic though. Like one of them was driving racing, and then you like the freaking carriage had a hole in it, and sparks were flying all over the place. And I'm like, that's so BS.
His floor plate came out. I mean,
so full of shit.
I don't think that would happen. You know, you'd have to have a lot of vibration going on, and it's not like his vehicle was vibrating a crap ton. You know, I think they were just trying to find a reason to have sparks fly out of the back of the vehicle. And they're like,
have some drama, basically. Yeah,
we can't make him, like, blow out a tire because then he'd just lose the race. We got to make him lose by an inch so that Vin Diesel can say it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
And we spent too much time on Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Other than that, played a bunch of Rainbow Siege. I did rent the Iron Mask the Iron Mask, which is the horribly rated Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan movie that came out that I think
I thought you meant the Iron Mask with Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's a good
the
one.
Man in the Iron
the
Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask with
Dark okay so what'd you think of the movie?
I downloaded it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did download it, but I haven't watched it, so I'll definitely talk about it next week. And then I have a rental that I need to watch. I'll also talk about Shutter's Island, because we downloaded Shutter's Island and never watched it, and I think I have like 1 day left on it, so I got to watch it between today and tomorrow.
Matt, you need to check these movies before you rent them, because I'm pretty sure Shutter Island's either on Netflix or Amazon Prime.
You think so?
Yeah. Maybe it's always it's been on Netflix for a long time, possibly Amazon Prime. You need
it's
to
not
check
about the availability, man. It's about ownership.
Not if you're renting it.
Yeah. I did rent it.
You rent it. Oh, okay. Okay, that's the key point. Okay,
it was part of a buy three for. Remember, Mark, whenever they had that $10 and get three movies, it was right. on one of those deals, and I forget what three I got. I can go back and look, but Shutter's Island was one of the ones you could possibly get, and it looked good, but we didn't want to commit to getting it. So I was like, well, let's just rent it, because it was like $2 to rent. So we did the rental.
I've seen it. It's a good – it's probably not – it was probably smart to buy. It's a good movie. Not one of Scorsese's best, but it's also a mystery film. So once you've seen it, you're kind of like – you already know what happened, so,
yeah.
I don't know if it's one it's not one you'd probably necessarily revisit.
Okay.
I like The Aviator when it comes to non-gangster Scorsese movies.
Yeah, Aviator's good.
Man, Leo's good in that movie. But yeah, that was about it. About it for me.
I'm like long didn't watch a whole lot. I did watch A Blast from the Past, the G.I. Joe animated movie. I recently bought it off Amazon just because I heard it's out of print, basically. Shout Factory's not making more copies of it. And so I wanted to watch it. And, for an animated film, it's funny because a little history behind it. It was supposed to be in theaters before Transformers. But they had production problems for some reason with the animation. Then Transformers did not perform as well in theaters, so the G.I. Joe movie ended up getting struck direct to DVD. But, it's actually a pretty fun animated film. it starts off a little clunky, but once it gets into the film, the last hour of it's pretty well done, man. It's like the final fight's quite epic for an animated film. And I enjoyed
Cobra,
watching
it. Cobra. Oh, Cobra.
The ridiculously Cobra. Long intro. Yeah, it was like a 7-minute intro where it goes back and forth between Cobra and G.I. Joe. That's like, wow. But it's fun to watch those old movies that you grew up with. And I don't regret buying a copy. I'm kind of glad I have a copy of it now to revisit when I want to.
Actually, one of my favorite theme songs, TV theme songs for a cartoon.
Yeah.
We fight for freedom whenever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe. It's a catchy tune.
That's it awesome. Is. You know, in a quick trivia on that, you know, the same guy wrote a lot of those songs, He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe. He was probably so. He was like the go-to guy. Even into the 90s, I think he might have did some of the music on X-Men, Spider-Man. Yeah, I was reading that somewhere. Other than the G.I. Joe, I played a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima some more. Not a lot. I've had a lot of video game time. Like, I have all these games I'm backed up on playing, but I just don't have time to sit down and play the PlayStation. Eventually I will play them. I talked last week about the first episode of Cobra Kai.
Season 3.
So. Yeah. I've only watched the first episode. I might have watched I think Matt did.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think stayed up that. I think after we recorded, I stayed up and watched the first episode. And that's right, because I texted you guys, and I'm like, I like the show, you know, just like you guys do, but come on, stop making Johnny so stupid. Nobody is that stupid that he doesn't know what a cell phone is, or he doesn't know what the internet and all that. And that's my one thing. It's like, I know he's not the smartest guy, but don't make him fucking stupid. And it's getting a little old how stupid they make him be. But you know, whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Like he's really going to fight two cholos drunk.
Yes.
You know,
the whole bar fight thing was really stupid.
Do that.
That was forced. To be quite honest, I started watching it, and I just, when that started happening, I was like, I'm not in the mood to watch the show at the moment. I started playing Animal Crossing.
I think that's why I haven't gone back and watched the second episode, because the premiere wasn't real strong. You know, it was like,
it was predictable.
Yeah, so it hasn't got me to go back yet. You know, but I will, though, of course. That's about it. Yeah, I think I'll watch. I want to say there was something. No, that's all I can remember. That's okay. So let's get into today's featured film. A pretty fun movie from 1997, directed by Luc Besson and starring Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich. And that is The Fifth Element, which Matt's probably a little too young to remember, but this movie kind of came out of nowhere in 97. It had some really good trailers for it, and Bruce was still coming off of his popularity from the Die Hard films. And this movie kind of hit theaters and became a pretty decent box office hit because, well, it's a good movie. Anybody feel like summarizing it? I don't feel like
I did last week. Matt,
take a shot at summarizing without telling the whole plot.
So basically, there is a ultimate weapon linked to the fifth element that is going to be used in 3,000 years. The movie starts out in 1914 when they're just first discovering it. And then, boom, we zoom to where Debo is president because the Friday films were awesome, so they make him president. And he's got to fight this giant fart cloud that's coming towards his battleships. And weapons don't work on it. It just absorbs it and makes it bigger. But then they get this piece and make this fifth element, who's Mila Jovovich, which, you know, she is obviously a supreme being because we've all seen the Resident Evil films. And if you don't feel like she's a supreme being watching her dance around and jump around and stuff and shoot guns, then you're wrong. So she's the supreme being. And she ends up falling in James Corbin's, or Corbin Dallas's, James Corbin, Corbin Dallas's taxi, and he takes her, you know, away from the police. He doesn't know what's going on, and then you know, her name is Leelu, and he's got to get her to the pyramid and get these stones, the sorcerer's stones, so that they can defeat the fart cloud with Mila Jovis's love, while he, you know, makes sweet, sweet hunka chunka to her in order to make this happen.
And just leave Gary Oldman completely out of the
he's with the weird hair, you know. Yeah, he's also, there's like two parties trying to get to the stones as well.
Gary Oldman hates this movie. He doesn't like it at all.
Yeah, he hates his hairpiece. He hates
He did it as a favor to Luke Besson, but he hates the movie.
Chris Tucker didn't like his clothes. He was very self-conscious about that. Chris Tucker's in it. You know, Corbin, he's re-enlisted in the military, and that's how he's kind of forced to. He was going to help her anyways. That, let's just point that out. But, you know, he was re-enlisted in the military and set up to get this free, you know, yacht cruise from I forget his character's name in the movie, but Chris Tucker's character.
Ruby Rod.
Yeah. Yep. With the crazy hair, man, and the crazy suits. They wanted to make the set designer wanted to make suits that were kind of interchangeable and kind of with a throwback flair to the like early 1800s and stuff like that. So that's why everyone's in crazy clothing. But yeah, everything's set up with the whole multipass thing, and you know, that's how he gets into the opera. He's got to watch the diva sing and. And it's all set up, but then Gary Oldman and then the Goopa Troopas, you know, get in there and start trying to fight over the stones. And Leelu gets hurt, and the diva says she's going to need your love, John McClane. And so John McClane goes over there and he gives her his love.
I've lost it.
Yeah, but no, this movie, there's so much going on in it, and that's probably why, you know, maybe it didn't do too well in the States, but worldwide, this movie did really well.
I don't blame Matt for trying to describe this movie.
Yeah, there's just so much going on. I probably wasn't the best person to describe it, so I made it as fun as I could. I describe it, you know, I kind of used, my flair that I use for the Patreon to describe these films. I try and, interchange the characters' names for other characters that they've played in other films. I remember seeing the trailer for this film, and as a kid, I was young, you know, I was 11 years old, 1997. And I just remember Mila Jovovich's butt.
How old were you?
11 years old. Yeah.
11?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I remember her butt cheeks just facing up in the air. And I'm like, I want to see that movie. She looks awesome. And didn't realize she got nude until I actually saw it.
She gets naked a lot in this movie for a PG-13.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of, I remember first watching this movie as a rental at home. It's like, wow, there's a lot of toplessness in a PG-13 movie here.
I actually saw this in theaters with my dad. I remember my dad really liking this movie a lot. And first thing about this film is, Luke Besson started working on the script for this when he was about 11, 12 years old. He had an idea for it, and he perfected it over the years. And as growing up, he was tired of all the darker sci-fi movies that came out in the 80s when he was younger. He wanted to make a bright, fun science fiction movie, very similar to what Star Wars was, or the old movies from the 1950s and 60s that had brighter, more colorful characters. And that's what he did with this. He made it. It is certainly a fun movie. Yeah, there's a lot going on, but there's not so much going on that you can't tell what's going on. You know, it's a pretty straightforward plot. It's kind of got a sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
But yet a sense of I wouldn't say fear, but dread that the planet could get destroyed. And then you have, you know, Bruce Willis sometimes. He gets known for being John McClane and being hard to work with on set, but he does a hell of a job in this movie playing a guy that's just trying to live his life and is thrown into a bizarre, crazy situation. But he still plays the everyman, you know, in this movie. And Bruce sometimes doesn't get enough credit for his acting. And we just did a Bruce movie last month with 12 Monkeys. And this is a completely different Bruce in this movie than was in that movie. You know, so sometimes Bruce can pull out the acting chops and do different things.
Yeah. I liked him in this movie. And you mentioned the colorfulness of this movie, and it's like the polar opposite of Blade Runner. I mean, you look at Blade Runner, it's a futuristic city and everything, flying cars, but it's so dark, you know, and here it's so colorful. And Blade Runner, by the way, way better CGI and that kind of effects versus these sets right here.
Blade Runner used a lot of model work and practical effects too.
Yeah. The CGI for some of this, like when Lilu jumps, you know, right before she lands into the taxi when it's following her trajectory, you know, she kind of, the CGI is kind of wanky. And then same for the yacht.
Well, it's 1997. And things were still kind of newish as far as that. And
yeah.
And a budget of like $90 million, which wasn't a whole lot, you know, for a film that's so special effects heavy.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Probably spent a lot of money on that makeup. A lot of makeup they probably had to use or the suits. It's probably suits that they used for the
lots of costuming in this film. Yeah.
So a lot of budget went to that, most likely.
But I can forgive, and I thought the same thing rewatching it. There's some parts where the CGI doesn't hold up as well, but it makes up for it in the makeup and the costumes. A lot of that's really well done.
Oh yeah.
And I can forgive the movie. It's almost 23-year-old film, so I can forgive it for some of the CGI being not up to standards. You know, it's not everything in that era is going to be to what we have today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was just picking on it. But yeah, everything else is stellar, in my opinion. I think it's rewatchable many times. I think it's very, very entertaining. Like Long texted us earlier, Chris Tucker acts his butt off, you know, for real.
Yeah.
He steals the show for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Longs, you hadn't watched this in a while, man. Revisiting it. What are some of your thoughts on it? Things you liked and moments?
I think it holds up for me. There were hardly any moments until the end that took me out of the movie. I thought the end of the movie was a little melodramatic for my taste, but a little predictable, you know. But other than that, the movie holds up very well. The special effects didn't take me out of the world that it introduced me to. I know that this movie was created, the biggest inspiration for the creation of this movie was what was that? Luc Besson's recent science fiction movie called
Lucy? What was it called? Valerian.
Yeah, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Lights. Yeah, that one. Valerian was actually the main inspiration for the Fifth Element, and in a way, it feels like it's unnecessary for him to make Valerian because he made a totally original movie with the Fifth Element, kind of like how Star Wars was created as an inspiration to Flash Gordon, you know. So, Fifth Element, very entertaining. Some of the small little social critiques peppered throughout. The future's kind of Orwellian because they already have a multipass, and they were kind of emphasizing that. And then they have licenses that, obviously, when you buy a license, it's still not enough. You have to have points added to it to use the license. So, yeah, I mean, very bureaucratic, especially with Zorg Enterprises, where he says lay off a million people instead of 500,000. So, you know, there's kind of hints where that world is ruled by corporations rather than the government. And I guess the only form of government is the galactic government that's too busy worrying about interstellar crisis rather than what's going on planetary level. So
that's definitely worth pointing out. I didn't even, you know, you get so focused on the on the story and Bruce and Mila and you you kind of don't, you know, I didn't pay attention to that, but that's definitely worth pointing out.
Yeah, because you see that every apartment has, I guess I'm assuming, yellow circles. Mm-hmm. So it's probably routine that cops are constantly doing checkups on people, because people have to put their hands on the wall on the yellow circles. There was yellow circles at the airplane, the jet terminal, you know, where they were checking in boarding passes. But yeah, even though it's a kind of a brightly lit future, you can kind of see, well, it's a little dystopia in there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Even though it's colorful, kind of hides it.
Yeah. But other than the world building, which I enjoyed, Chris Tucker is definitely one of my favorite characters in there. And Ian Holm, I actually started paying attention to Ian Holm, the actor, because I'd never seen really Alien at that point. But I have seen him in The Fifth Element, and Fifth Element was the first movie that introduced me to Ian Holm, the priest. And then saw him again in Lord of the Rings, and I thought, man, he's a great actor, you know, very charismatic in his own way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And even, yeah, he's very good. And, you know, Gary Oldman might not like this film, but he's quite a quack in this, but he's good in it too. And we just did Batman Begins also. The thing about Oldman is two completely different performances. Like, they couldn't be more different. And that's why he is such a good actor. You know, he could play something like he did in Jim Gordon and play Zorg in this, to going to play the evil tycoon in Book of Eli, to playing the Prisoner of Azkaban, you know, in Harry Potter. And that's the great thing about Oldman, just quite a range on this guy. And here he's playing, and because he's like this tycoon in this, as Zorg, as a Texan, did you kind of feel that the Southern accent was like a knock at like oil, Texas oil tycoons or something?
Oh, it's either Georgian or Texan. Yeah.
I was like, making fun of these tycoons of the South.
Yeah. But owning a large mega corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
one of my favorite scenes, it's a small little moment where the general and the doctor, genetic doctor, were talking about, oh, we got a survivor, and it was just like a freaking hand.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's a survivor. It's like, yeah. And then like they went through the quarantine before they went into the main chamber. It was like, so the funny moment was like, yeah, we only have like this one strand of DNA, and they have like 50 in their blood. And then the doctor says, man, no, wait, the general says, man, what a bunch of freaks. They're in the black light and they're all glowing and stuff in the weird ways. And it's like, yeah, they are freaks, you know? But yeah, definitely one of the most memorable moments was definitely the tissue, the body rebuild scene. That was I never saw that before, and I thought that was really well done. Rebuilding the Supreme Being's physical body.
Yeah, and well, and that's we haven't even given Mia credit. This is one of her first roles, and Luke Besson wrote a language just for her. They created about 500 words to use, and she learned it all, and so did Luke. And they actually had conversations in the language. And they didn't tell Bruce what she was going to say. So when she falls in the cab and starts speaking the language, his reactions are all real, you know, cause he didn't know what was going to happen. And, they did that to him twice. When the diva sings, they took that song and they spliced it together and made a song, because she couldn't reach those notes. So they had to digitally do some of it. And when they put the song together and played it on the speakers, Bruce's reaction is genuine. He had not heard the song yet. So he did some, I don't know what you call that when it comes to acting, but some genuine reactions from Bruce Willis's Corbin Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I mean, her singing was so beautiful. It also put a tear to my eye. So, I know. The power of opera, Mark.
I'm not going to comment. But this is a fun film. I always really liked this, and it's one that Luc Besson had thrown around the idea of a sequel at one point, I remember, but I think he kind of threw that idea out. He felt One and Done was good. Plus, box office, it was a moderate hit, but not big enough to warrant, you know, I guess, a sequel. But, you know, it's okay. I think the world itself would have been cool to revisit. But the problem with this movie is the whole idea of the fifth element happening every 3,000 years. Like, how do you really do a fifth element too, you know, and bring him and bring Bruce Willis back? But yet the world itself was pretty cool. And
The movie definitely also the art direction of the movie. If you guys have heard of the European fantasy comic book artist Mobius, his you can definitely see his curvy style in some of the design of the vehicles and the characters, especially the aliens, very rounded look and style, round shapes and sleeves and stuff.
Definitely one of Besson's muses, I guess. He was always inspired by Mobius and the things he did. Well, Valerian is based on a Mobius comic book, I believe, right? Yeah.
Have you guys seen Valerian?
About 20 minutes. And I didn't finish it, not because I didn't want to. I think I got distracted, kids or something. And I still have not gone back and watched it. You know, I've heard it's okay. I've heard the biggest flaw in it are the teenage actors. I just heard they're not very good.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the male actor at all. I was like, what's his name? He was in the Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
I think.
I didn't like him as Harry Osborn either.
Yeah, he looks sickly, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
In any movie he's in, he looks like he's like ill or sickly looking. Like
the redhead kid from A Christmas Story, you know.
Well, the redhead kid looks even. Yeah. He looks healthier than him, to be honest. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, he always has that dead look in his eyes. I just don't, there's something about him I don't like, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't hold your attention, huh?
No, I just think I just never went back to watch it. I mean, I'll watch, you know, I wanted to see it. I just never got around to finishing it. But eventually. And but Luc Besson's an interesting director. Like, actually really kind of enjoy Lucy. They did. And of course, he did The Professional, which everybody knows is probably his best film. But I thought Lucy was kind of cool. Sci-fi woman, Scarlett Johansson. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I was a little turned off by the premise. The whole use 100% of your brain thing was like, come on. You know? So dumb.
Yeah. But it's a good movie.
Yeah. I'm so sure it is.
So what do you guys rank The Fifth Element?
Oh, this is definitely an A.
Yeah, A.
I think we got triple A across the board there.
Triple A.
Yep, I agree. I think it's a solid A, a fun sci-fi movie that still holds up well 23 years later. Definitely worth the watch if you've never seen it. Definitely.
Definitely.
So I guess that brings us to today's top five, or this week's top five. And having some fun this week after watching this movie with Mia Jovovich in it being the sexy supreme being. So we're going to talk our top five sci-fi babes. Matt,
yes, maybe that again. Your feed cut off.
Your top five sci-fi babes.
Okay.
And Matt looks very anxious to start. Looks like he's fixing to jump through the camera. So Matt, start us off at your number five.
Number five, I've got Mila Jovovich's character right here, Lilu. I think she's awesome. She has a huge appetite. She eats like huge plates of food. and she can still flip through the air somehow after eating as much food.
But that's to weigh as much as a baby.
Hey man, a girl that can eat, respect.
But
she's also the supreme being, you know, and she needs your love. You know, it's cool to, you know, be needed for love. You know, I don't know. Her outfit mainly. Yeah.
And the fact that you see her topless like 3 times in the film.
Oh yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah. I didn't really stick with sci-fi, but mine was like genre movies still. But I guess number 5 was kind of a throwaway pick, but I still went with Rose McGowan in Planet Terror. So,
oh nice.
Yeah, her that gun, amputee leg.
That gun, get your guns how long?
Yeah, you know it. You know it.
Rose McGowan, man.
Man,
McGowan.
She was at Comicpalooza a few years ago, and Mark had drawn that character, right? And he was like, hey, man, can we, because I was on staff, he's like, can we go walk and give her a copy and see what, I was like, yeah, let's go over there. So I used my staff badge and took Mark up there, and I got close to her, and like, she was quite frightening looking in person.
Yeah,
like was all that the after plastic surgery.
Yeah, all the plastic surgery. Oh, yeah. And I was like, "What?" Even Mark was like, "She doesn't even look like herself." I'm like, "I know, it's weird."
Is it plastic surgery or just lack of makeup?
Yeah, it was plastic surgery.
Plastic. Oh, really? Dude. Yeah. Whenever she didn't look the same. Probably then as whenever she.
Yeah,
was
I think Matt was at that conference. Yeah.
Yeah.
My number 5, I have Olivia Wilde as Korra in Tron Legacy. She she wears that leather quite well. Amongst all the guys of the film with Tron and Flynn's son, she brings a strong female character to the movie who does it sexily as well. And I'm still holding out hope that we get a Tron 3 and they bring her back, because I found her character really interesting too. The fact that she was a program that ended up in the real world at the end of the film. And I always wanted to see where they went with that afterwards. So there's been some rumblings at Disney that they're considering the Tron 3. So we'll see.
Number 4, I've got Ripley, of course, because, I mean, she's just a badass. You know, she's one of the guys, but she can sling a blaster like no other. And she takes charge, and she can show those Marines that think they're tough how to actually be tough.
Nice.
Yeah.
My number 4 is Jessica Alba in Sin City.
Oh, nice.
Nancy. So, she's hot. Jessica Alba's hot.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, I've always had a thing for Jessica. I mean,
she's a scorcher.
She is. I mean, she gets my mojo going.
Mojo.
At number 4, I have Mia Jovovich at number 4 with a double whammy as Leeloo in The Fifth Element and as Alice in the Resident Evil movies. Even if they're not great, she still kicks ass and looks sexy doing it, especially absolutely that red dress in the first one. Mia has doesn't always get enough credit, but she's come on her own as an action star, even for films that are not always the biggest box office hits. She does a good job in what she's given. I actually kind of want to see Monster Hunter. Looks like a crazy ass fucking movie.
Yeah. So, number 3, I've got Trinity from The Matrix. I just, you know, whenever I first saw her, I just thought she was awesome. And, you know, the martial arts. And I know she doesn't look as good outside of The Matrix in the movie, but hey, man, Trinity, number 3.
Cool. My number 3 is Famke Janssen in the X-Men movies. Wow. I thought she was a good Jean Grey, and she was quite sexy in that Phoenix leather.
Oh, yeah.
And, Famke Janssen. Oh, shoot, I'll throw in Halle Berry as well.
Might as well.
Halle Berry and Famke Janssen at number 3 for the X-Men movies. So,
Man, you can tell I went more of the perverted route on my list. And at number three, I have Megan Fox from Transformers. Yeah, she might not be able to act worth shit, but goddamn, she's hot. Whenever she's lifting up that hood and she's sweating, and it's just like, I don't blame Shia LaBeouf for not being
a car, man.
I don't blame Shia LaBeouf for not being able to act at all, because I'd be distracted by her as well. I mean, she looks smoking hot in Transformers, and she technically is a sci-fi aide, man, because she helped the Transformers save the planet as well. You know, she did her part.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Megan Fox at number three.
Number two, I've got Sarah Connor, of course.
Oh, right? Good one.
Birther to the man who's going to save mankind, and a girl who breaks her psychiatrist's leg and arm or whatever, and then does pull-ups and stuff and bangs a dude from the future. That's got to be worth something, you know?
My number two is... Baroness or Sienna Miller from the first G.I. Joe movie.
Nice.
I thought she was great. And I have a weakness for the character of the Baroness in from G.I. Joe. I don't know why. But yeah. She had some pretty cool action sequences, some pretty cool fights. Against what was it? Mary, was it? Oh, Scarlet. In the G.I. Joe film. And yeah, my number two is Sienna Miller as Baroness in the G.I. Joe film.
Cool costume too.
You know,
yeah.
You know, those movies, they're not as bad as people make them out to be. They're decent. The second one's way better than the first one, but they're made for kids. If you accept the fact that they're made for kids, they're actually enjoyable films. You know, now maybe they're not the G.I. Joe that people wanted on screen. That doesn't make them terrible films.
No.
At number two, I have from Battlestar Galactica, Trisha Heffers, number six. That's her character, the Cylon. And she is so sexy on that show as number six, and but also frightening because of some of the things she does. And when she was at Compalooza a few years ago, she is absolutely just as beautiful in person. And a sweetheart from what people say that met her. Say Trisha Heffer's a very sweet lady to meet, and she does a great job bringing the sexy to Battlestar Galactica.
Nice.
Number one, drum roll.
Which I'm actually surprised Matt did not have Sarah Connor at number one.
I know.
I'm not surprised.
I had to go Princess Leia number one. I asked Jackie if she could do her hair in the two bun thing just last week. So I mean, it's Princess Leia for me, especially in the gold bikini. It's the ultimate, you know. It's the ultimate.
And see,
you know.
And I went no Star Wars in this list because I could have put Padme on here because I have a thing for Natalie Portman, but I went no Star Wars. I went no Star Wars for once.
That's, man, I applaud you, man. That's like, you know, an alcoholic that's, you know, trying to recover, and someone, you know, just smacks a scotch right in front of him. I'd expect to take a drink. You know?
Well, I don't need to jerk off to Star Wars. There's other sci-fi I can jerk off to. Anyway.
That's true.
Matt, that's long right. Number one.
Speaking of jerking off, my number one is Ava Green in Sin City 2. She is so great in this movie. And her acting ability was awesome. Her plot was grade A.
Because she has no top on. Well, because she has no top on for most of it.
Yeah,
I'm talking about movie plot. What are you on about? No, but my number one's Ava Green in Sin City.
My number one is another star film, and that is Star Trek. It's Uhura. In the new Star Treks, in the J.J. Abrams.
Oh,
Zoe Saldana is, she brings a sexiness to Uhura, but she's also the same strong female character that was created by Gene Roddenberry in the 1960s. And
she's very pretty.
Yeah, Zoe just brings something to that role that makes you, to be honest, respect, but you can also gush over, I guess is the word.
I think Nichelle Nichols is also very beautiful woman too.
Yep. I Have I ever told you how I met Nichelle Nichols years ago?
No.
Yeah, it was at a... It was back before they had all these comic paloozas and big comic cons. It was a smaller comic con at a hotel here in Houston. And she gave a little panel. There were maybe 30, 40 people in the room. And she stayed and shook everyone's hands and said hi. And I shook her hand and said hi to her. And it was the days before camera phones and all that. Otherwise, I went out of picture. But yeah, I did get to meet her very briefly at least. So that's kind of cool. I never forgot that. Cool, man. That was a fun top five.
Yeah.
Matt, credit to Matt for picking this one. That was a good one. Sometimes Matt picks a good one.
Yeah, and, every
once in a while. He picks it or you just totally forgot. No.
And news wise,
he did not deny it either. No, you didn't deny it either. When I said that you forgot about the top five, and the reason why Matt did it was because you forgot the top five.
Oh, no, I didn't forget. Remember, I texted y'all saying top five. I said top five ideas, and Matt threw out that. And I was like, hey, that's actually a good one. It's rare for Matt to get one on the first try.
For real.
But news is still slow out of Hollywood. There is one news that Long I know is happy about, and that is Legendary Pictures and Warner Brothers came to an agreement on Kong vs. Godzilla, and it will premiere on HBO Max and theaters the same day. So you'll be able to watch that in the comfort of your home. They're still in negotiations on Dune, because it seems like Legendary Pictures wants to wait to see, because Dune doesn't come out until October or even later than that, maybe. So I guess they're hoping maybe theaters are open by then. But that is good news. And I don't know. I wrote it down. Cameron, did we talk about last week that Warner Brothers was fast-tracking Wonder Woman 3?
Oh, yeah.
It was last week's news.
It was approved. It was approved for a third. But we didn't know it was being fast-tracked.
But that's about all I have in the news. It's you know, January is always like that. You know, in Hollywood, the holidays come and it takes a week or two before news starts coming back out with things, and it'll start picking back up as they start going into production on films and TV shows for the summer and fall. So we'll get more news soon. But before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film, which was foreshadowed earlier, if you were listening, as Matt played this movie for his Mexican family last night. And we're going to talk a film I actually rather enjoy. And it's directed by Martin Campbell, who directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale. And it stars Antonio Banderas, and that is The Mask of Zorro.
Some say he's a legend.
Zorro was a servant of the people. He did what was needed.
Now he's needed again.
Others, a ghost.
Be careful, senorita. There are dangerous men about.
Some say he fights for justice.
There are some who would call him heroic.
Others for revenge.
All that playing with swords, shooting guns, racing around on horses.
Such sweaty pursuits are hardly the work of a gentleman.
No one has seen his face.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I had impure thoughts about a man.
Last fall?
Yes, last fall.
But everyone knows his mark.
No bad.
The only sin would be to deny what your heart truly feels.
No bad at all.
Search everything!
You know, Zorro, he could be anywhere.
Did you miss me?
It's only one man.
It isn't just one man, damn it. It's Zorro.
Is it The Mask of Zorro or The Mark of Zorro?
The
Mask.
Mask.
That's right. And the second one, the one that's not very good, is The Legend of Zorro or something. Yeah. But the first one is good, man. The first one is a good, fun adventure film. Shot very much in the old style of adventure films that you grew up with, you know, from the old, from Raiders of the Lost Ark to the Jewel of the Nile films and things like that. Kind of a throwback, and it's a fun movie. And Antonio Banderas is legitimately very good in the movie. And I always wanted
Anthony Hopkins.
It's a good cast. Yeah. It's a good film. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Jones is smoking. Yeah.
I always wanted this franchise to have more, but we only got two films, and we'll talk about the first one on next week's show as a prelude to Long's mystery birthday movie that we don't know yet. But that'll be next week. And go to the rubberreelpodcast.com as always. Join our Patreon to get now two episodes a month starting this year. And follow us on our social media. And we thank you as always for listening. And if we didn't say it already, a happy new year to you all. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long. Whatever language.
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
Until next time.
Multipass.
Just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Do it. Multipass.
And use your multipass. Yes.